Beyond Infrastructure as a Service. This lecture walks you through the most important services offered by cloud providers beyond the infrastructure as a service layers. Sometimes this is called platform as a service, indicating that it is intended as a developer platform. The easiest way to remember the difference is that infrastructure as a service offers virtual machines and connected services. In order to operate on top of an IaaS platform, you need someone skilled in running an operating system. In other words, you need a system administrator. Platform as a service, on the other hand, is intended for developers. The main goal of PaaS services is enabling developers to deploy applications without having to manage the operating system of the underlying virtual machine. There is, however, nothing preventing you from mixing infrastructure as a service and platform as a service services. A typical use case would be using a managed database with virtual machines. This helps smaller teams because operating a database proficiently on a small scale can be an undue burden. This might not seem like a big deal, but consider that databases store data. Every time when data storage is concerned, disaster recovery becomes more complex. If an IaaS team were to operate a database themselves, they would need to regularly test backups and disaster recovery procedures. Managed databases take that complexity away. Similarly, building a redundant database system that can perform an automatic failover requires a high skill level in managing that specific database engine. This skill level may not be available in small teams, or a small team might not want to spend the time on managing a database instead of focusing on their core objective. Application load balancers. Application load balancers provide load balancing capabilities on the layer 7 of the OSI model. In practice, application load balancers support HTTP and HTTPS load balancing. HTTP is a request response protocol. Typically, connections are short-lived, but longer connections, with WebSockets for example, are also possible. Good application load balancers allow sending traffic to different sets of backends based on the host name, for example example.com, as well as the path for /some/address. Some applications also require that subsequent requests from the same client end up on the same backend. This is called session stickiness and can be achieved in a variety of ways. Less advanced solutions route requests based on the source IP, while more advanced solutions send a so-called cookie to the client and route subsequent requests based on that cookie. Sticky sessions, however, present a problem. When a backend goes down, the users of that backend will be redistributed to the other backends. In practice, this usually means that users will be logged out. When a cascading fault or a rolling update occurs that takes down multiple backends in rapid succession, users can be subjected to multiple involuntary logouts. This has an adverse effect on user experience, which is why newer, so-called cloud-native applications don't use sticky sessions. Instead, cloud-native applications put client-specific data, for example session data, in a database system with redundancy. Sessions themselves have their own race condition problems, but that is not the discussion for this lecture. Content delivery networks, or CDNs. While it seems the internet is blazing fast nowadays, delivering content to the other side of the planet is still an issue. As you may know, most of the internet is comprised of fiber optic cabling. Data is transmitted by turning a laser on and off in rapid succession. Let's do a little mental exercise. The speed of light is more or less 300,000 meters per second. The circumference of our planet is 40,000 kilometers. A ray of light should be able to round the planet in roughly 0.113 seconds. In other words, any data transmitted should be able to travel around the world in about 100 milliseconds. Yet, in practice, we see latencies around 300 milliseconds when transferring the data to the other side of the globe. The issue is that light does not go around the corner. Fiber optic cables work by having reflective walls, so the light bounces off the walls repeatedly to reach the end. This multiplies the distance the light has to travel to reach the other side of the planet. This is further compounded by the fact that light can only travel so far in a fiber optic cable. Repeaters and routers in between also need time to process the data. The problem is further worsened by how HTTP works. When a website is loaded, there are several elements that have to wait for each other. The site may reference a style sheet, CSS file, the CSS file may reference an image, and so on. This means several round trips to have to build a whole page. HTTP2 server push attempts to mitigate this. CDNs work around the problem by replicating the content to servers closer to users. When a user requests a certain file, that request first lands on a CDN's edge node. If the CDN has the file in cache, the delivery is very fast. If, however, the CDN does not have the content in cache, the delivery will take longer. In essence, CDNs help with latency issues if the content can be cached. In other words, this helps mostly with static content, but in combination with functions as a service, see below, dynamic content can also be delivered from an edge node to some extent. Did you know? Low latency connections are important not just for delivering content. Stock exchanges benefit from very low latencies. For example, there is a private microwave network between Frankfurt and London that has twice the speed of the public internet. Did you also know? SpaceX is building the Starlink network to provide lower latency connectivity across the globe. Object storage. In the previous lecture, we briefly mentioned object storages. As a reminder, traditional block storage devices and the file systems implemented on top of them have several features you might want to consider advanced. Multiple programs can open the same file in parallel, files can be read or written partially, and locks can be placed on files, preventing other processes from accessing them. Object storages are different. The most popular Amazon S3 protocol offers the ability to up and download, list, and delete files. However, files can only be uploaded as a whole, partial reads and writes are not possible. Consistency is also not guaranteed when multiple programs are accessing the same files in parallel. However, due to the limited feature set, object storages have a few unique abilities not afforded by traditional block storage. They are redundant over multiple servers by design. The loss of a single physical machine does not mean a data loss. The S3 protocol offers the ability to place access control lists on the objects uploaded to the object storage. This allows making files publicly accessible over the web without needing to maintain an extra server. Some object storage implementations offer the ability to keep multiple versions of files. Clients can be prevented from deleting older versions, making versioning an effective data loss prevention mechanism. Some object storage implementations also offer the ability to lock files from being modified in the future. This is especially important when adhering to corporate or government data retention requirements. Cold storage. Some providers offer an extension to their object storage system that puts data in cold storage, for example, on tape. Data can be uploaded directly via API or, in the case of very large amounts of data, shipped to the provider on hard drives. Did you know? Never underestimate the bandwidth of a truck loaded full of hard drives is an industry saying that kept its validity to this day. Since the data is stored offline, cold, the data retrieval is not as immediate as with the object storage. To retrieve data from a cold storage, you often need to wait several hours until the data becomes available. Therefore, an effective backup strategy to the cloud often involves moving data to the object storage first and only older backups to cold storage. Amazon, for example, allows for automating this process using S3 lifecycle rules. Databases as a service or DBaaS. As mentioned before, one of the most difficult services to operate are the ones that store state. They are also highly standardized between cloud providers. This makes them an ideal candidate for a company to use PaaS instead of managing everything in-house. Database consistency. When considering which database offering to use, database consistency plays a key role. It is a common occurrence for startups to pick, for example, MongoDB because of its hipness, instead of considering the benefits and drawbacks of this or any other database solution. One of the important aspects of a database is the way they offer consistency. Traditional SQL-style databases often support what's called ACID compliance. This stands for atomicity, consistency, isolation, and durability. Atomicity guarantees that a series of database operations will either occur as a whole or not at all. The practical implementation of atomicity are transactions. Consistency guarantees that if an operation would violate the rules of a database, whatever they may be, the whole transaction is rolled back to a previously known good state. Isolation guarantees that two transactions executing at the same time will not affect each other. While this can be turned on, it is very resource intensive, and database engines often allow for a lower isolation level to increase performance. Durability guarantees that if a user has received a success message, the data is actually stored. This guarantee is not met by most NoSQL databases. In contrast, most NoSQL databases implement BASE, Basic Availability guarantees that the database is available most of the time. Soft state allows for the data to be non-consistent. In other words, the database doesn't have to be in sync across all database replicas, and eventual consistency allows for written data to be translated across multiple replicas at a future point in time. This is, of course, the theory. In practice, even base-compliant databases tend to offer some ACID features. For example, MongoDB supports transactions for atomicity, but is still a base system. The above two database types are illustrated by the CAP theorem. The CAP theorem says that out of consistency, availability, and partition tolerance, only two can be chosen at any given time. The trick here is that partition tolerance means that the system can survive when the network is split into two parts. This is not optional, so we can between CP and AP databases. CP databases will guarantee that a database operation will either fail or, if successful, be consistent across all replicas. We will never have a case where a change is not yet translated to a replica and we receive outdated information. This is, in practice, often achieved by quorum. When a network is split in two, only the nodes that can form a majority are able to perform database operations. Nodes that are not able to join the majority cannot perform database operations. AP databases, on the other hand, will always serve database operations but cannot guarantee consistency. The data read might be outdated. Database writes might be lost if the node goes down before it is able to transmit the data to other nodes. There is benefits to both, and the appropriate database type must be chosen for the task at hand. Relational databases or SQL databases. SQL or relational databases, or RDBMS, are one of the more traditional database systems. They use predefined tables with fixed columns and data types. Most SQL databases also allow for creating references between tables. These references, or foreign keys, allow for validation. For example, you could create a database that has an articles and a comments table. Since the comments table could reference the articles table, it would be impossible to create a comment without a valid article ID. While it is easy to make the assumption that RDBMS implement ACID compliance in most cases, it is only true when the database is run on a single node. When using replication, most RDBMS implement asynchronous replication, which puts them partially in the base or AP territory. When using a managed database, make sure your cloud provider supports a replication that suits your consistency needs. Relational databases can be used for a wide variety of use cases, including the storage of large amounts of data. However, RDBMS meet their limits when it comes to structuring data. When a large number of relations are needed, a graph database might be better suited for the task, while the storage of deep structured objects might call for a document database. Popular RDBMS are, for example, Microsoft SQL Server, MySQL, or PostgreSQL. Key value stores. Key value stores are simply databases that store data objects based on a key or a name for the object. The object itself is inherently opaque, the database engine does not know or care how it is structured. In other words, key value stores treat the value part of the object as a binary. Typical key value stores include Memcached and Amazon S3. Document databases. Document databases offer the user the ability to store a structured document, such as a JSON file. Often it also creates indexes over these documents that allow for quick searching. While SQL databases enforce a fixed set of columns, document databases often offer the ability to use fields dynamically. While this may make development easier in the early stages, it also presents some risks. Since the database engine does not validate the field names, it is easier to create a mess in the database with typos, inconsistent changes, etc. It is therefore recommended to create a strict data model in the application layer. Most document databases fall strictly in the base or AP category when it comes to replication. Popular document databases are MongoDB, Elasticsearch, or Amazon DynamoDB. Time series databases. Time series databases are usually used in monitoring systems and store a numeric value associated with a certain timestamp. One of the most famous cloud-native monitoring systems with an integrated time series database is Prometheus. Graph databases. Graph databases are special databases that store relationships of datasets with each other and allow making queries over them. These database types can be used for creating social graphs, interests, etc. A popular graph database option is Neo4j. Functions as a service or lambdas. Functions as a service or lambdas are a way to run custom code without having to worry about the runtime environment. These pieces of code are triggered by events, a timer, a message in a message queue, or an incoming HTTP request. To make this easier to understand, let's consider a hypothetical scenario. Let's say you want to have an up-to-date list of IP addresses of all virtual machines you are running. In this case, you have two options. Option 1 is to run a piece of code every few minutes to update the IP list. However, this might not be fast enough, and it may also not scale well with a very large number of machines. So your other option is to use a function as a service function to react to the fact that a new instance has been launched or an instance has been destroyed. This function would be called every time there is a change. In a different scenario, functions as a service would give you the ability to run small amounts of program code on a CDN edge node, giving you the ability for fast dynamic content delivery. One such service is Lambda at Edge by Amazon. However, keep in mind that functions as a service may have limitations in terms of performance. To conserve processing power, the cloud provider will shut down runtime environments not in use, and a restart may take longer than usual. This may, for example, destroy the advantage an edge node Lambda function has in terms of latency for low traffic sites. Containers as a service. Containers are a way to run applications in an isolated environment without creating a full virtual machine for them. However, as you might imagine, containers are not magic and cannot automatically move from one physical server to another. This and many other tasks are the job of container orchestrators, such as Kubernetes. Since Kubernetes and its alternatives are incredibly complex to operate, many cloud providers take this burden and offer containers as a service to customers. Note that containers are the topic of the next lecture, so we will not cover them in detail here. Stream processing and business intelligence tools. One of the most complex setups to run in an on-premises environment is something nowadays known as a data lake. IT aggregates data from many different databases and allows data scientists to extract valuable information from it. It is not uncommon to see several dozen source databases. What's more, some analyses require close to real-time data processing. The tools usually seen in this setup are HDFS, Apache Spark, Kafka, and several more. The number of source databases and number of tools listed here should tell you how complex such a setup can be. This is one of the reasons why even large traditional corporations are seriously considering moving their data analytics into the cloud. Deployment pipelines. While there are many, many more services on offer in the cloud, we'd like to mention a final piece of the puzzle: deployment pipelines. These deployment pipelines allow a DevOps engineer to build an automatic software deployment system with relative ease. Deployment pipelines may start with something simple like a CI/CD system that an engineer can extend with calls to an API, or may include full-on code quality tools, test systems, and a management for the production environment. The general idea is that the code is handled in a version control system such as Git. When the code is pushed into the version control system, an automatic build and deployment process is started. This can involve compiling the source code to automatic tests running. The deployment pipeline then takes care of copying the software to the appropriate environment, such as creating a container and deploying it to a CAS environment, or creating virtual machines with the appropriate code. When the service is offered by a cloud provider that runs on the infrastructure themselves, these are usually tightly integrated, allowing a prospective user to simply point and click to create the whole environment. It is debatable if such an automatically created environment is suitable for production use, but it may give a good starting point to customize the setup from. Typical services on offer are CircleCI, GitHub Actions, and AWS CodePipeline.